Good evening, everybody. So the big news this week has been the COVID vaccine. So I gave a 10-minute halacha shiur today about whether one is obligated to get the vaccine or whether it's just a mitzvah or a good idea. And that's the easiest of the topics relating to the vaccine. But I got a couple of interesting shilas over the past couple of days that I wanted to share with you. They both relate to the vaccine. So the range of choices for tonight's topic is not that great because they're both vaccine related. But here are the shilas. Shila number one, someone wrote to me, I have a question for you. My mother is a doctor and she's scheduled to receive the COVID vaccine shortly. She will be assigned a time to receive the vaccine at random. One of those times could be on Shabbos. To reschedule, she would be pushed to the back of the line until everyone else gets vaccinated, which would mean she's pushing off getting vaccinated for another 3 to 6 months. Is getting this vaccination docha Shabbos? Right now, Baruch Hashem, she is not a chalash yesh basakana. Her and my father live together, and my father has had a history of health problems, so her getting the vaccine is very important. Can one make the argument that since there is now a vaccine, and not getting it would be putting oneself in more of a sakana situation than need be, that it would be docha Shabbos? I mean, essentially, if she's going to be called in on Shabbos, that now's your chance, and if you don't take this opportunity, it's going to be several months. It seems a little surprising. 3 to 6 months, that sounds like a long time. But it's going to be several months until you have your next opportunity. So what can she do on Shabbos in order to make that happen? Then another question that I got, question number two, reads as follows. I wanted to reach out to learn your halachic and hashkafic perspective in regards to the COVID vaccine. In Mirtz Hashem, I am scheduled to receive one shortly as a frontline healthcare worker. Baruch Hashem, my hospital has begun getting in their vaccines, and my clinical setting, the ICU, is given priority along with emergency room staff. That being said, we're dividing our team up into thirds and staggering when we all get the vaccine in order to prevent a unit-wide wipeout in case there are large numbers of staff that present with adverse reactions to the vaccine. With that in mind, I have offered to be in a later shift and therefore anticipate having my turn next week. My question is not about if it's advisable to receive the vaccine, as I understand that this is not different than any other vaccine that our Torah community advises to receive, as well as the recent RCA guidance about this particular one. Okay, she's getting to the question. But I was curious if there was an appropriate tefillah or expression of Hoda'at Hashem that we have arrived at this moment. I would assume a formal recitation of a Shehecheyanu may be off limits, but is there anything that would be advisable to recite? Should we possibly be offering a tefillah that this vaccine should be effective? As I write this, I wonder if there really is any difference between this circumstance and any other major medical development, and should we apply this answer to any medication or preventative measure that we see as a significant Yeshua? I just want to make sure that I approach this exciting time with an appropriate recognition of Hashem and his involvement in both developing a safe vaccine, but also that he is the ultimate Rofei Cholim and has the control if this vaccine truly offers the protection we hope it does. I hope this all made sense. Thank you for your thoughts and perspective. Okay, so those are the two shilas. Shila number one, a woman who may be called in on Shabbos to get the vaccine, and she has a husband who's in a high-risk category. What should she do on Shabbos if that's her turn? And Shaila number two, what bracha do you make on this stuff? You get a vaccine. What's the bracha that one recites on this vaccine? Okay, so maybe we'll do a quick vote in the chat. You know what Shaila you want to talk about? Wow, I'm a little surprised. I really thought I was going to get more Shaila number two. Okay, looks like Shaila number one wins the vote. At least ties, even if I assume those who haven't voted all want number two. Okay, there we go. Shaila number one's with the, nice to know the answer to number two also. Okay, leaning one. All right, very good. So we'll start with Shaila number one, and if time permits, we'll do Shaila number two. Otherwise, look out for it as a 10-minute halacha shiur next week. Okay, so let's start with Shaila number one. So the reason this is challenging. Oh, but just by the way, I should let you know. When I got this shaila, I forwarded it to Rabbi Shai Schechter and asked him to ask Rav Asher Weiss or his father, for that matter, because I never like to. I'm very hesitant to call any major gedolim, just because I never like to bother anybody. But I know Shai talks to both of them like every day, so I just, you know, and he's a very trustworthy shaliach. So he said that Rav Asher was going to call him anyway. He was having it, so I said, can you do me a favor when he calls you, conference me in. So he said he doesn't know when he's going to call, whatever. I said, okay, fine, I trust you, just ask the question. I didn't hear from Rav Shai, I didn't hear anything. Then this morning, I opened up my emails, and Rav Asher Weiss's shiur on the vaccine comes in my email. And at the end of his shiur, like he often has, he has a couple of tshuvas that are printed. And sure enough, there's a tshuva dated Rosh Chodesh Teves, Tavshin Pei Aleph, to Ravarn Yeshaya Shechter, with this Shaila, with this exact Shaila, answering this exact circumstance. So I texted Shai, thanks for letting me know that Rav Asher sent you a tshuva. He said, this is the first I'm hearing of it. I didn't see any tshuva until it was sent out to the world. It was So Rav Asher wrote a tshuva, a very brief tshuva on this topic. I think it requires a little bit more elaboration. Of course, I'll let you know what Rav Asher had to say about it, but I think it requires a little bit more of a background to fully answer the question. So the first thing you have to discuss whenever you're talking about being Mechal Shabbos, so we have Dinim of Chil Shabbos for the sake of a Chol, and what you can do, Yisrim Daraisa, Drabban, Amir La'akub, all of these things, but you first have to categorize what the person is, right? We have different categories of Chol. There's Chol Sheyesh Basakana, there's Chol She'ein Basakana, there's Mechush Bialma. So what exactly is this person? Is a person who needs a vaccine? It doesn't neatly fit into any of the categories, l'chora, right? Meaning, as far as chol she'yesh bo sakana, certainly not. The person is not. The person that is perfectly healthy and needs a vaccine is not a chol she'yesh bo sakana, nor can you easily say that it's a situation of pikuach nefesh necessarily, meaning broadly having the vaccine is pikuach nefesh of a very grand scale. Who knows how, you know, if this vaccine would have come out, I don't know, 9 months later, how many hundreds of thousands of lives that would mean, you know, who knows, but as far as that's concerned. But as far as this individual receiving this vaccine now, can you say that that's pikuach nefesh necessarily? You know, Rav Asher Weiss wrote in that tshuva, he says, Uladaati ein lahatir bezechul Shabbos Doraisa. He says you can't be matir chul Shabbos Doraisa on the cheshbon that it's pikuach nefesh. Ki kama rachok liros bekabal sachisun pikuach nefesh adoch Shabbos. It's a little bit far fetched to assume that this is pikuach nefesh. Why is it far fetched? Halo refuazu kvar memali says tafkida bnei amonos chadashim rabim baruch shem lo rofazu kvar memali says tafkida bnei amonos chadashim rabim baruch shem lo nidbaka. This doctor has been working for months and has not yet gotten sick. V'kasher nogim bofen achra'i l'fi klalei azihirut rachok hadavar lidabik b'machlen. If a person is careful and they follow all the distancing rules and the masking rules and the washing the hands, you still might get sick, but it's a very small chance of getting sick. V'av she'ein holchen b'pikuach nefesh acharov. Aye, it's true. Shulchan Aruch shin chav tesiv beis ein holchen b'pikuach nefesh acharov. We don't follow the rov when it comes to b'pikuach nefesh. And even when there are multiple sveikos from Mechal and Shabbos, Mishum Pikuach Nefesh, Shulchan Aruch Shin Chav Tassiv Gimel, Mikal Makom Kashela Hagdir, Ba'ofen Meduyak, Mahin Gvulosa Shalalach Hazud. It's very hard to precisely define how many sveikos and how far fetched exactly something is to be considered Pikuach Nefesh. He says, Ukvar Biarti, Bekam Makomo Shalokal Sakanur Chokamod Yesh Balahatir Chul Shabbos. Can't be Matir Chul Shabbos on any chashash of a very, very distant sakana that could be. So it's hard to say that this is pikuach nefesh. And again, I want to emphasize that there's a difference between pikuach nefesh klali and pikuach nefesh prati, meaning a lot of times throughout this pandemic, you heard people say things like, well, if you're young and healthy, your chances of dying from this are only one in whatever, you know, whatever the number is, some very, very, you know, minuscule chance. And therefore, it doesn't rise to the level of Safik Pikuach Nefesh, so you can behave however you like, and don't worry if, you know, if you get the virus, because your chances of dying are so slim anyway, it's no different than getting in a car or whatever the different Mishalim that we've heard over the course of this. That is a ridiculous argument, if I could be so bold. The reason it's a ridiculous argument is that this is a virus that goes from one person to another and from one person to many others. And the more people that have it, especially with asymptomatic transmission, it goes to lots of other people. So you're going to say that it's not really pikuach nefesh. You can't close your eyes and say something is not pikuach nefesh based on statistics when you look around you and everybody is dying. Meaning the idea of statistics is in an individual case, I want to go bungee jumping. I want to go skydiving. What are the chances that I'm going to die? No one is going to catch a snapped bungee cord from me. Meaning that's not something that if that happens to me, it's going to happen to 10 others as well. That's not something that if I do it, that it's going to cause a societal norm that will be an effect that everybody does, and then people will definitely die. That's not that you can view as my business. But when you're talking about things that relate to the tzibur, so clearly this is as a machala, it's obviously pikuach nefesh. But Rav Asher is clearly correct that on the individual basis, for this person to get vaccinated and to be mechal Shabbos on a daraisa level based on their need to get vaccinated, hard to call that pikuach nefesh. Rav Asher actually had a tshuva a few months ago when someone had asked him about working a researcher who is working in developing the vaccine, wanted to know if they can work on Shabbos because they want to work around the clock so that they can develop the vaccine sooner. That he thought also, even though that's about developing a vaccine, you would think, developing a vaccine, how many lives is that going to save? But, you know, there were dozens of companies that were working on developing a vaccine, each of them with hundreds of researchers that work for them. So to assume that your work on that Shabbos is going to make the difference, or is going to make any noticeable difference, to even assume that you're the company you work for is going to be the one that produces the vaccine that's going to be effective, I mean, there are several, but it's just too far off to consider that mamish pikuach nefesh. Okay, so it's not pikuach nefesh, it's not chalash she'esh bo sakana. Is it chalash she'ein bo sakana? Well, you know, it's the person's not chola. The person's not ill. You know, this is not a treatment for a chola. And if that's the case, it's hard to call someone chola she'ein bo sakana. Now, it might be different if the person is in a high-risk category because of some sort of condition that they have. Certain chronic conditions can be chola she'ein bo sakana. If a person has, when they say that people who suffer the worst from COVID are people that have other health issues. So those are generally, you know, again, an argument that people make sometimes is like, if you're healthy, you have nothing to worry about. It's only for people who have other health issues. But other health issues could be anything. It's like so silly to say something like that because you know how many people have other health issues? Other health issues could be being overweight. It could be having asthma. It could be anything that lots and lots and lots of people have. But it could be that someone who has a chronic condition is a chola she'ein bo sakana, and those are the ones that are likely being prioritized, certainly in many countries, are being prioritized, and at this stage are the ones that are receiving the vaccine. So Rav Asher, in a tshuva to a doctor in London, suggested that perhaps at this stage, anyone who's actually getting the vaccine at this stage, he wasn't talking about healthcare workers, he was talking about non-healthcare workers who are getting the vaccine at this stage, which would mean high-risk people, that maybe they taka do have a din of a chola she'ein bo sakana, and whatever a chola she'ein bo sakana could do to protect themselves, so they should follow those rules, and we'll discuss what those rules are. But it's hard to say that a regular person is a chola she'ein bo sakana if a person is not even unhealthy, if a person is perfectly healthy. It's also hard to say that it's nothing, you know, that it's a mechush bialma or less, or it's just like a perfectly healthy person, and therefore you don't have to worry about the vaccine at all. Again, in that tshuva, Rav Asher Weiss wrote, Mikol makom nira delo gara mechola she'ein bo sakana. He says, I'm more comfortable putting a healthy person getting the vaccine into the category of a chola shein bo sakana. He's talking specifically to this woman, this shaila that we spoke about before, about the woman whose husband is high risk and she is a doctor. And he says, because shebekolzos nimtzei bekvutza sikun, she's in a category that is considered more dangerous. Verabim arofim v'achiyot v'shar tzavatot harufua shenidbeku davol nev yesh af sheshavku chayu l'chayu olam. He said that there are a lot of medical professionals that became sick with COVID, and unfortunately there were some that died as well. Zos va'od im chas v'shalom tidadik menagif ad shelo teda shenidbeka aluli l'sakenes chayim shel cholim rabim. And if a healthcare professional becomes sick and doesn't, you know, and is asymptomatic, she can transmit the virus to many people, to many patients who are the most vulnerable. And therefore, says Rav Asher, is it directly koach nefesh? Absolutely not. Is it nothing? You can't say it's nothing. Is it a chol hashein bo sakana? It isn't exactly a chola she'en bo sakana, but la halacha we will treat it like a chola she'en bo sakana. So that's what Rav Asher wanted to say. We're going to look at this like a chola she'en bo sakana. Okay, so what does that mean for us if it's a chola she'en bo sakana? What are the rules for a chola she'en bo sakana? So Shulchan Aruch writes in Simen Shin Chav Ches Si'if Yud Zayin. Chola she'nafal machmas choli lemishkav ve'en bo sakana. If you have someone who's a chola she'nafal lemishkav, meaning they need to be in bed, but it's not dangerously ill, and the Rama adds oshiyesh umechshem star v'chol menu kol gufo, what we call a chola kol gufo, someone whose entire functioning is off, they're not able to function normally. It's not like if you have a mild headache where you function normally and you go to shul normally and everything is fine and you daven and you learn and everything. No, someone who's just not able to function, even though you're not necessarily in bed, that's also chol hashein bo sakana. So what can you do? Says the Shulchan Aruch, three different opinions. Number one, so first of all, what everyone agrees about. Here's what you definitely can do. You could do Amir Lakum for sure. Amir Lakum is considered like a lower level of Sidra Banan. You could do Amir Lakum for sure. You're definitely not allowed to do an Isidaraisa. Isidaraisa is only if you're a Cholash Yeshbo Sakana. Avil Yeshbo Sakana is Aver. Avil Yeshbo Sakana is Aver. Even if you might lose a limb over it. Even if it's Sakana is Aver, you're not allowed to violate an Isidar Raisa, which is sort of hard to swallow. It happens to be, luckily, most of the time that we have Sakana Sefer, it's also Pikuach Nefesh, and therefore, in the end of the day, you're going to be allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for most of the times that you have a Sakana Sefer. But for Sakana Sefer alone, if you knew that it was only Sakana Sefer and not Pikuach Nefesh, says Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to violate an Isidar Raisa. Okay, so that's the given. You're not allowed to do Dar Raisas, you're allowed to do Amir La'akum. Ulechala love Yisrael be Isidrabanan biadayim. What about a Jew doing an Isidrabanan? Not Amir Lakum. Amir Lakum we said is okay, but that's a lower level Drabanan. What about doing some other Isidrabanan? Yesh matirim afilu ein bo sakana sever. So Shita number one, mutter. V'yesh omrim, shim yesh bo sakana sever osin, v'mein bo sakana sever ein osin. Shita number two, depends whether you're a cholashein bo sakana who has sakanas aver, or just I'm a cholashein bo sakana. Are you at risk of losing a limb? And if you're not at risk of losing a limb, then you're not allowed to violate a drabanan. Shita number three, v'yesh omrim, shemein bo sakanas aver osim b'shinui, v'yesh bo sakanas aver osim below shinui. That if you're in danger of losing a limb, you're allowed to violate a drabanan without any shinui. But if you're not in danger of losing a limb, and you're just a chol hashein bo sakana, you could violate a drabanan, not just a mir lakum, you could violate a drabanan, but it's got to be with shinui. It's got to be with a shinui. And then the Shulchan Aruch goes on to say that v'divrei asvara hashlish is nearin. That of these three approaches, the third one is the one that makes the most sense to me. It's the one that I would most likely paskin, like says the Shulchan Aruch. So here are the rules. You can certainly do Amir al-Nachri. You certainly cannot do an Isidar Raisa. As far as doing a Malacha Drabanan, again, some are matir in all cases because they assume b'makom choli lo gazru, that they simply never made this gezeira in a case where someone is ill. Some say that only if there's sakanas eiver, are you allowed to do a drabanan? But in our case, let's say, where there's clearly no sakanas eiver, after all, the person is healthy, so there's clearly no sakanas eiver, you wouldn't even be allowed to do a drabanan. And others say, and this is the one that Shulchan Aruch prefers, that when there's no sakanas eiver, you're allowed to violate a drabanan only with a shinui. Yes, you could violate a drabanan, but it must be with a shinui. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch prefers. Mishnah Berurah quotes that the Gra also agrees with this approach. So Mishnah Berurah seems to say that drabanans with a shinui, sakanas eiver, drabanans without a shinui. But in our case, an iser drabanan with a shinui. It's important to note that the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat Mem Vav quotes a Prima Gadim that if the refuah can wait until after Shabbos, then you have to wait. Meaning, if they call you in, but they could just give it to you tomorrow, or give it to you later tonight, then you gotta wait. I remember one time, one of my children, you know, I have four sons, before my daughter was born, we have four straight boys, so the house got labedik sometimes, and we had our share of stitches situations, and not only because snitches get stitches, but that too, but we've had our share of, I'm just joking, they never purposely did it to each other, that I know of. But in one particular situation, one of my sons, his ear got cut really badly to the point that, like, it was gruesome. I mean, it was pretty bad. So we went to a plastic surgeon we know in the neighborhood in Woodmere. It was a very frum guy. And, you know, stitching up a patient on Shabbos involves Yisroel Daraisa. So, you know, he knows that he's only allowed to do it if there's a real need for it to be done on Shabbos. And he looked at him and he said, come back after Shabbos. You know, he put a little bandage on it, said, come back after Shabbos, we'll take care of it after Shabbos. And that's correct, that's the halacha, that you would come back after Shabbos in that situation. That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes in the name of the Prima Gadim, that if it can wait until after Shabbos, so then you have to wait until after Shabbos. So what does that mean for us, right? So this woman needs to go get her COVID vaccine. She's Cholashem Basakana. She doesn't live within walking distance of the hospital. So what would she do? So clearly we said Amir Lakum is totally mutter, right? So that's easy. Just get a non-Jewish driver to drive her, right? No problem. Problem is, how do you get the non-Jewish driver to know that he's supposed to drive you, right? So you have to call the non-Jewish driver, or you have to use your Uber app in order to summon the non-Jewish driver. So in order to do that, that involves you directly doing an Issur Drabanan. And let's assume, and I think it's safe to assume, that using a telephone or that using a smartphone is an Issur Drabanan, not an Issur Daraisa. So by hitting the Uber app, you're in violation of an Issur Drabanan. Are you allowed to violate Nisud Drabanan, if you're going to assume that Rav Asher is correct, that we're going to put this person in the category of a Chol HaShein Bel Sakana, are you allowed to violate an Isur Drabanan? So it would seem that only Al Yidei Shinui, that you would have to do it Al Yidei Shinui. So what's a Shinui? How do you call an Uber Al Yidei Shinui? You call an Uber in... what is that, like a Lyft instead of an Uber? Like how do you do it Al Yidei Shinui? So probably it means that you don't hit the screen on your smartphone in the normal way. You hit it with your knuckle or something like that, and that would mean Al Yidei Shinui, which is a little weird that would be considered a Shinui, because it works just the same, right? But that's what the Eglei Tal points out in Hilcha Shabbos. The Eglei Tal writes that we have a concept of Shinui in Kol HaTorah Kula, and we have a concept of Shinui when it comes to Shabbos. In Kol HaTorah Kula, we just learned in the Daf Yomi recently that if you eat a food that's asur b'achila, but you eat it shelo kederech achila, or you get hanah from something that's asur b'hanah, but you do it shelo kederech hanah aso. You do it shelo kederech hanah aso. So with the exception of Kilei HaKerem and Basar B'chalav, all of these things, when they're done shelo kederech, then it's really not an Issur D'oraisa. So for example, the Gemara gives the example, ha'ochel chelev chai. If a person eats chelev, but raw. No one would ever eat chelev raw. You'd only eat chelev when it's cooked. So if a person eats raw chelev, since that's shelo kederech, he's going to be pater. But let me ask you something. Let's say a person eats chelev with his left hand, right? He takes his left hand and he puts it in his mouth and he eats chalev. Or he's really weird. He throws it up in the air and catches it in his mouth and he eats chalev that way. Or he stands on his head and he eats his nevela sandwich while standing on his head. So is that not an issa d'oraisa? Of course that's an issa d'oraisa. That's not called a shinui. So that's what the Eglei Tal explains. When it comes to Hilchos, to other halachos outside of Hilchos Shabbos, the shinui is in the na'aseh. The shinui has to be in the way that it is in that which the Isser is being done on, and that which the Isser is being done in an unusual way, that you're benefiting in a weird way, as opposed to in Hilchos Shabbos, it's on the oseh, that even if you're just acting strangely, but the way the hana'a comes to you is perfectly normal, the result that comes is perfectly normal, then it would still be considered a shinoi. You turn on a light with your elbow, that's a shinoi, even though the light turns on just the same. But you eat your chalev with your elbow, you pick it up with your elbow and just bite it off of your elbow somehow, that is an issa d'oraisa. Because in Shabbos we have a principle called melachas machsheves. So l'chora, if you use a shinoi of hitting the phone with a knuckle or something like that, that would be lahalacha, the way the Shulchan Aruch prefers. That would be lahalacha permissible, again, provided that we're accepting Rav Asher Weiss's assumption that the person is a chol shem basakana. So Rav Asher told the doctor in England about violating Isurim in another shayla that he was asked about this. He says, Pshita lanshein kol mokom lahatir melacha d'oraisa, va'aflo isur d'rabanan. He says, we can't be matir melacha d'oraisa nor an isur d'rabanan. Because even though the magefa is very, very strong, it's very hard to call this pikuach nefesh, or even suffic pikuach nefesh. And he says, even to violate a shvus d'rabanan, I don't know why he didn't suggest using a shinui. I don't know why, when it comes to whatever is the d'rabanan needs to be violated, Rav Asher didn't suggest using a shinui. He didn't say it in either tshuva, and I'm not sure why, because the Shulchan Aruch does say it. What about and as far as Amir al-Nachri, again, that's pashut, Rav Asher said. Of course, you can travel using Amir al-Nachri. But then the question becomes, okay, now I'm there. What about receiving the injection itself? Is there any problem with getting the injection? So the actual injection, we generally assume that it's not a psik reshe, that an injection will cause you to bleed. And if it's not a psik reshe, that it will cause you to bleed, an injection into flesh is not considered to be an isser on Shabbos. Even though it often bleeds and might make a black and blue mark, that's might, it's often, it's not always. If it's always, then it's a psik reshe, then that itself would be an Isser Shabbos, and then that would be an Amira La'akum. If you have the guy doing it, that would be an Amira La'akum. There are people that are on blood thinners or things like that that actually do turn black and blue with every single injection that they get. So if that's the case, then... If that's the case, then itaka would be an amir lakum, which is mutter anyway. What about the fact that the person who's giving the injection then enters the data into a computer to mark off that you've received the injection? So Rav Asher says that's not at all. That's not even amir lakum, because amir lakum is when you're asking a guy to do something for you that the guy is doing for themselves. They're marking off who got it, because that's their job. You don't care if they mark off that you got it or don't mark off that you got it, or they don't enter the data that you got it. You're just happy to have your injection. So that's that's not even an issue. What's the question over here? Why not arrange the ride before Shabbos? So it seemed to me from the question that it wasn't possible to arrange the ride before Shabbos because the call was going to come on Shabbos that now you're up to get vaccinated. So if you knew in advance, you knew before Shabbos, then yeah, for sure, better to arrange the ride before Shabbos rather than to call the Uber yourself on Shabbos. But then there's another issue over here, and we'll just spend the last 2 minutes on this issue, no longer. You went in to hit the Uber thing with your knuckle, the non-Jewish Uber driver drove you there, you're at the hospital, you got your vaccine, no Amir Lakum, no problem, you don't bleed, you know, whatever, everything's great. Now what? It's 10 o'clock Shabbos morning, and there you are, you're at the hospital. So are you allowed to go home with the Uber? And this is also a little bit tricky. See, if the person is a chole and needs a place to rest, great. Chole shem bal sakana, you're allowed to do amir lakum. So let the Uber driver take you home, and you don't even have to hit the Uber thing with your knuckle. At this point, you're in a hospital. Ask one of the guys to touch your, you know, to call the Uber with your phone. Fine. That, right? That would be great. If the person is actually a chole. But over here, the person's not a chole. They're not sick. So even though, as far as getting the vaccine is concerned, we're going to say they're a chole shein bo sakana, but it's hard to say they need to lie down. It's hard to say that they need, you know, any special treatment at this point. And all of the heterim that we have about returning, you know, doctors returning, Hatzalah members returning from Hatzalah call, sort of Moshe has the famous heter of Yitiru Sofa Mishum Tchilaso, which they do not accept in Israel because Rosh Hashanah didn't agree with it, but Moshe has that famous heter, or that Karov Adavar, that the person is going to be called again for another medical emergency. All of those things don't apply over here because we're not worried about the person never wanting to respond to come to get a vaccine on Shabbos again. You know, that's an unlikely concern. And we're not worried about any sort of pikuach nefesh situation that's going to come up that this person is needed. This person is just a person who's getting a vaccine. There's no... It's very hard to figure out. I guess there's room to discuss if someone is concerned about being in a public setting where people are coming in and out all day. And obviously, these are the highest risk individuals. So these are often, I mean, at this stage at least, these are the highest risk individuals. So very often, these are people that have barely left their house since March. And they're being very, very cautious. So to have them sitting around the hospital, you know, it's, whatever, 30 degrees outside, they're not going to be outside, but to have them sitting around the hospital indoors where people are coming in and out all the time, especially if they're lining up to get their vaccine. So maybe if you're dealing with that kind of person, there's a lot more room to allow them to take an Uber home. But for the physician, for the doctor who just, or for the healthcare worker who's off on Shabbos, is not going to be called to work on Shabbos or anything, but they're just there and they just got their vaccine and they're always in the hospital all day anyway, very hard to say that there's a heter to come home. I did not get a chance to follow up with Rav Asher about it because, as I said, I didn't speak to him. But he didn't address those points. Yeah, l'chora they should stay in the Bikur Cholim room on Shabbos. That's l'chora what they should do. They should find as comfortable a place as they can find and hang out there for the rest of Shabbos, even if it's early in the day. Normally, we'll distinguish between early in the day and late in the day if you really need to get home. But why does this person really, really need to get home? There's a place that they can find that they can make themselves somewhat comfortable. So yeah, that's what I would think. Okay, everyone have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos. Thank you for joining me.